I've mentioned it before, but movies have been a huge part of my life. My family would eat in front of the TV growing up, we'd always be watching something and seeing a story unfold. My dad is a writer and my mom's in marketing, so storytelling itself has been at the forefront of my upbringing every step of the way. So it's no surprise that I started to differentiate between what I liked and what I didn't like to watch. My family would even call me the TV terrorist because my opinions were so pronounced. If I didn't want to watch something or I found it uninteresting, I would let my family know. But I have learned from my ways and will now present to you the criteria I think is most important. Hello, and welcome to Jackie On, a podcast where I, Jackie, talk about my opinions on a bunch of different topics. This episode is Jackie On Movie Critiques, how I critique movies, and my thoughts on a few. Before we get started, there will be spoilers for the movies I mention, so if you start hearing about one you haven't seen, I suggest you prepare yourself to get spoiled or come back to this episode after you've seen it. I just want to say, for me, I think it's important that a movie doesn't just have to look great. I do enjoy it when movies look great. I enjoy it when I have something to watch that's visually pleasing to my eye. But it's not enough. Take a recent one I've watched, Interstellar. It was gorgeous for sure, but at the same time, there were a significant number of plot holes and a build-up that led to an unsatisfactory ending. The story of Cooper was certainly interesting with the idea of time dilation and general relativity, but the story of Murph wasn't well fleshed out, and Tom's even less so. This, along with some of the pacing, meaning some moments dragged on too long while others could have dragged on longer, and I enjoyed the movie but didn't love it. Now, this is also very biased of me because I tend not to enjoy somewhat realistic space-based films. I love science fiction, but I don't love astronaut science fiction, or even astronaut fiction, or astronaut nonfiction. I don't know what it is, but seeing people up in space in astronaut suits is not my jam. Still, the point I'm trying to make here is that when movies get hyped up too much to be some brilliant art form, when people talk about how well they do the visuals, like take Oppenheimer, for example. That's another big one where people talk about the visuals. You saw all these like physics and theory ideas be translated into the screen. And while yes, that was amazing, what made the movie good wasn't just the visuals. The visuals were a crutch that supported the overall plot and theme and recounting of a man's life. And I think to me, that comes before the visuals. And if the visuals are meant to stand on their own, then that they should lean into that. It should be a visual-minded movie where the plot doesn't have to be important. But in the case of Interstellar, without the plot, it left you confused. And so they tried to balance visuals and plot, but in the end, I was left with neither. I'm kidding. That's a bit of an oversimplification. You did have some plot and amazing visuals, but it just felt a little bit lackluster. So I expect movies to be equally visually attractive as their plot is sensical. Now, if we take another movie directed by Christopher Nolan, because Interstellar was directed by him, instead looking at Memento, the plot is nonsensical, but it works in this movie because that's the point. It uses the unreliable narrator lens, which you would know is one of my favorites if you've listened to my Point of View episode. So what I'm trying to say here is that one movie can fail in an area and another movie can succeed by doing the exact same thing, depending on the execution of the director and the actors. So even if, you know, Memento was nonsensical in the same way Interstellar was, it played into it in a very different aspect, which is what led to it, in my mind, being a lot more successful. And even then, in Interstellar, the visuals mattered more, but in Memento, cementing the idea of it being somewhat absurd and leaning into that took precedence. And you can see this even in the same director. There's a lot of variance, which I think is really, really fun. And that's why, you know, you might see Agatha Christie's Murder on the Orient Express, or even And Then There Were None, adapted hundreds of times, and yet some are better than others. It's about how the movie's interpreted and how the tools are used. But in my opinion, what I care about most of all is about how, like, an audience feels. Personally, I didn't connect with any of the characters in Interstellar. I felt sad when sad moments happened, sure, but I never was invested in the same way because I didn't see their developments firsthand. In Memento, I got that development, and the cliffhangers put me in a morally confusing place because what I thought to be true turned out to be false. More people like Interstellar because they can relate to those themes, that storytelling, but I like Memento because it relates to my idea of what a good movie is. It challenges my assumptions. And I think this is the most important thing, I think, when critiquing a movie is it's all subjective. Sure, critics have these objective ideas of what a good movie looks like, but at the end of the day, a movie's supposed to make you feel a certain way. It's an art form. I can look at a painting and admire the fact that the technique on it was brilliant, but if I look at it and I feel nothing, what's the point? That's how I think. And that's why a lot of modern art doesn't appeal to me, because while maybe someone has created a new shade of blue that never existed before, it doesn't give me any emotion. Instead, when I see an art form that is representative of something or trying to tell a story, that reaches me a lot more. And so that's the same way I approach movie critiques, is how did this make me feel? Why did I feel that way? And did it make me think? And that's really the overarching thing I think is most important. I like movies that make me think. Like, take another one, Nightcrawler. It's pretty good. It questions what you think is moral and right in the world, which is something that I also enjoy, because I think a lot of the time that's through film, is the way humans explore what is morally good and what isn't. We explore it through storytelling, through make-believe, through fiction, and that's what I enjoy watching and reading about too. That's also why I enjoy psychological horror. You have to worm your way inside my head. The first Saw is brilliant at this. When movies are more realistic, they make me think less, only because it's someone's life, it's tangible and not mysterious in the same way science fiction or horror is. Which is why I tend to lean more towards nonfiction than fiction, because you're creating something out of nothing and not necessarily just recounting someone's life. Now, one can easily disagree with that point, but biopics often try to pretend like they tell the whole story. And while they don't, it doesn't also really make you think about the universe or life or yourself, at least for me. But I also want to admit, I like really dumb movies. R.I.P.D. is one of my favorite movies because I liked it as a child and it was full of bad jokes and that was just so bad, it's good. Now, that's another unpopular opinion and that's okay. I feel like, especially with movies, there's always people who are going to judge them based on specific criteria, as I mentioned before. And I do judge movies on that too, but I feel like sometimes there's just the enjoyment factor in a movie. And if it's dumb and I enjoyed it, then I like it and that's okay. It can be something like the most brilliant movie in the world. And if I didn't enjoy it, I might not rate it very high and people might think I'm crazy for that. But I think it's important to not just acknowledge how a movie's made, but what the message is trying to send and how it makes you feel. I like movies where I can find a connection and I cannot necessarily explain that connection. Afterwards, I might try to analyze why, of course, but at the moment, I just have a fondness for it. And I think that could be whittled down to movie magic. But it is something really cool when I feel something about a movie and I can't necessarily put it into words, because that means that the art form has worked, that it's reaching me, that I'm getting something from it that cannot be established with a single statement or a single sentence. It's not a paragraph summary that I can say, oh, this made me think of this. Instead, it's more of an emotion. It's something more human. That's what I really like about movies. Now, to get into more of the technical area, this is something I also think is really important. And I definitely know I'm not alone in thinking this is important, because it's the acting itself. Now, I like seeing new faces and new actors. This is about movies, but the same thing can easily apply to TV. There's a show I used to watch with my family called The Expanse, based on a book series. It's science fiction and utterly brilliant. But before watching it, I didn't recognize a single actor. They were all new to me, and because of that, they didn't have a personal brand I could define them as. They could easily meld into a character without me seeing the actor themselves. I simply saw the character and was able to acknowledge how good the acting was to fit that character. But bigger names can struggle with this, like Matt Damon and Jack Black. Eventually, they're just Matt Damon and Jack Black. It doesn't matter how good of an actor they might be, I cannot separate them from their character. They're just themselves. Not to bring Interstellar back, but it's the most recent movie I watched, so I'm bringing it back. But when Matt Damon showed up, I was like, oh my god, that's Matt Damon. I wasn't like, oh my god, that's Dr. Mann. I literally just saw Matt Damon. And I think, you know, big names can certainly make this hard, but I think big names can also be pretty good at acting. Like Brad Pitt and Pedro Pascal, usually, especially in their earlier days, they were able to switch up their characterization. Now, I know in the movie industry, a lot of actors are typecast into the same exact categories. Well, maybe some of their personality leaks through, some of themselves is shown. But I think that breaking away from that makes for a really interesting story. And just playing yourself can be fun sometimes. Like, let's say, for example, Nick Cage in The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. He literally just played himself. And I thought that was really fun because it leaned into that idea. Or even in Gladiator 2, when Denzel Washington didn't even try to put on a fake Roman accent, he just played himself. And I thought that was really funny because it was so obvious. And it wasn't like, oh, they're trying to act and it's just not working. It was literally like, they're going to be themselves and that's okay. Things like that I think are funny. But like, I don't think Gladiator 2 was the greatest movie alive. I did think The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent was quite funny because that was the entire trope. So I think it really depends on the movie. And again, who's behind the movie, the intent behind it, what it makes you feel, that kind of thing. But I think also something that I want to touch on is that when it comes to actors playing themselves or actors being good at acting, it's not just because they're good actors. It's the director. The director is so important for the feel of the movie, of course, but also for the acting. Certain directors use the same characters again and again, but when they bring something out in that actor, I find it to be a much better movie. Tim Burton likes the same cast with Johnny Depp and Helena Bonham Carter, and I find that they often play similar roles. But another example, again, this is a TV show and I still count it to show my point, is the director Mike Flanagan. My dad's a fan of his. He does a lot of the Netflix horror. Some of it's original, some of it's more based on different novels, like The Haunting of Hill House. But I enjoy his stuff too. Now, Flanagan uses the actor Henry Thomas a lot. Henry Thomas was Elliot, the main character in E.T. the Extraterrestrial. So he was a child actor that faded in and out of the limelight, but Flanagan really brings him into good characterization. For example, in the show Midnight Mass, he's kind of a standoffish dad who cares about his sons. But in The Fall of the House of Usher, he's a crazy psychopathic dad, and you can see that little twitch and acting that goes into differentiating these characters. So yes, while the actor has range, it's also the ability for the director to kind of bring that out in them, to write them into interesting experiences, or for the writers to create interesting characters. It's a whole team that really crafts what a movie is, and I think it's important to acknowledge that the same director can get an actor to do so many things. And oftentimes, it is the director who has to be the strong hand that guides the actors. The actors aren't just going to go. And so when you have a weak director, you can tell because you see actors just start to fall into themselves instead of fall into, you know, being that character. And so if we look at another example, like the Fast and the Furious franchise, Vin Diesel's ego has just been growing and growing, which makes him harder to work with. So a director with a heavy hand is crucial when evaluating a movie because they can control so much. And like whether or not Vin Diesel does a good job might come down to the director because he just can't get over himself. But at the same time, it's a team process. Otherwise, though, speaking of the Fast and Furious, I find movie franchises to not really be worth it. I talked a little bit about this in my first episode I ever did on prequels and why I don't like them. Still stand by that. But I think that sequels are also equally as problematic because there's the idea that they need to be better and better with higher stakes, more blood, more gore, more of everything. And that's just not true or realistic to good storytelling. They keep trying to one-up themselves, but instead I like to see originality, turning cliches on their head, doing some new things. I like unique ideas, and we really, really miss that in a lot of the sequels because they're just trying to do what they already did, but better. And oftentimes it ends up being worse because they're just trying to redo a unique idea instead of creating a new unique idea. So ultimately, I think there's a whole lot that comes into play when critiquing movies. People can talk about the lighting, the way that the color is on the screen, which does matter a lot more than you might think, because I've seen some movies color corrected and with different color schemes, and it just changes the feel. But again, all of this is about how the movie makes you feel. Do the warmer color tones make you feel like it's an inviting movie, or do cooler make you think that something's out to come get you and haunt you in the night? What is it really giving to you as the audience? Movies are made for an audience to enjoy them. So even if, you know, one is objectively good or objectively bad, I think that it's only as good as the audience feels it is. And so we can talk about music, we can talk about CGI and effects or practical effects. But for me, it comes down to how well the story convinces me of it and makes me think more about my life, more about things in general. And I think that really when it comes to critiquing a movie, it's about what did I notice that went right and what did I notice that went wrong. And the more things I notice that went right, the more I have to enjoy a movie than not. So while this isn't a typical here's how you critique a movie scenario, I did kind of want to present what I think when it comes to critiquing a movie and what I think movies ought to represent for everyone. Thank you for tuning into this episode of Jackie On. I hope the next time you watch a film, you think a little bit more about what went into it and what you feel about it. I'll see you in the next episode.